Welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and Chavruta Yerdana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bava Metzia, daf Lamed Bet, page 32. So fairly close to the top of the daf, we have a new Mishnah, and I'm going to start right in. Matzaba refet ein chayavba. Now, a refet in modern Hebrew is more customarily used to mean a dairy, but this means a stable or a barn, right? Ein chayavba, you find an animal that's in this facility, right? And you're not obligated to now take that animal back to the owner. Now, it gets a little complicated. The Gemara is going to address it, although I'm not sure that we're going to read it inside. This idea of who owns the barn to begin with? If the animal's owned by the same owner of the barn, then this is a very difficult case. So the Gemara delves into this to say, well, it's kind of, you know, off in Yenemsveld, right? It's in a situation where you can't claim ease of ownership, and that's part of the challenge here. So this line itself, on the one hand, it makes perfect sense. Like, obviously, you don't need to return an animal to somebody else if it's in a barn. It presumably belongs to that barn. And on the other hand, the Gemara shows that these words deal with a little bit of a more complicated case. The Mishnah goes on, Bershut Rabim, right? If the animal is found in a public area, then chayabba, then you would return it to, if you could identify the owner, or even if you can't, right? There's an obligation to return to the owner. Now, what happens if there's an animal that is lost, wandering in a cemetery? Lo yitamala. So if the person finding it is a Kohen, the Kohen does not need to render himself impure by entering into the cemetery for the sake of the hashavata veda, the returning of the lost animal that would entail getting impure in the cemetery. Im amarlo aviv itama osha amarlo al tachzir lo yishmalo. And if his father, now his father is also a Kohen, right? If his father says, go become impure, or for that matter, if in a different case where the finder would be required to return the animal, and the father says to him, you know, don't return it. In any of these cases, he does not have to, not only does he not have to listen to his father, he should not listen to his father, because the general psak, and this is kind of across the board, is that you can't violate a Torah commandment for the sake of honoring your father or your mother, right? Meaning the mitzvah to honor your father or your mother is a Torah commandment, but that doesn't mean you can violate other Torah commandments for the sake of listening to them. So the Kohen does not have to become impure, and likewise, if he does have a mitzvah under circumstances where he would be obligated to return the animal, he does not have to listen to his father. He cannot listen to his father when his father says, nah, don't give it back. Okay, Barak Vita'an, if a person unloads the burden from an animal, meaning there are all these stories, right, about donkeys, for example, that have their burdens are too heavy. And so that's not considered acceptable to overload the pack animal. So you take the burden off of the animal because it's too heavy. The animal's collapsing, right? Barak Vita'an. And then you, later on, right, you load it onto the animal, and then meaning you take the overloaded, I don't know, bundles, right, off the animal, and you load it again, and you do this a bunch of different times so that you can say, like, the whole issue here is that there's the donkey or whatever animal should not be collapsing under its burden. The whole idea here is that you're still trying to release, you know, whatever this need is to use the animal as transport, not to the degree that it's going to keep collapsing under the burden. So you'll keep taking stuff off as many times as it's needed to enable the animal to be okay. And this is, in fact, again, a Torah commandment, right? Azov Tazov is from the verse in Shmot in Exodus chapter 23. Halak v'yashavlo. Now, if the owner went and sat down and says to the passerby, ho'il v'alecha mitzvah, imritzot chali frok parok patur, if he says, oh, here you are, you passerby, you have a mitzvah to help unload the burden that's overloading the animal, right? If you'd like to come and unload it, then by all means, that passerby is does not have to. He's exempt, meaning the owner is standing there with the donkey or whatever animal, right? Whatever pack animal. And if the animal is overloaded, then just, you know, make sure it's not. Shneamar imo, right? The person is exempt because he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to take that on. Because the verse says, you shall release it with him, meaning with the owner of the animal. Im hayaza keno chole chayav. But if the person who stopped on the side of the road with the overloaded animal stops waiting for somebody to come by to help because he's elderly or infirm, right? Then the person would be obligated to stop because that's a matter of helping with the animal as opposed to this generosity of the first case, like the regular owner who's in fine physical shape saying, well, maybe you'd like to be the one to take care of this mitzvah, then you don't have to. Only if it's really going to be the only way that the animal is going to be relieved is by your assistance. Okay. Now, the Gemara here, going back to this case of this refet, of this stable, right, or barn, Amarava refet shamru eina mat'a v'eina mishamaret. So we're talking about an animal that's in this, again, place where you would expect to find animals and you don't have to give it back to the owner. Rava explains that this particular place, this particular barn, they're not really trying to keep the animals there. And so they're not securing them, and they're not doing anything to make sure that the animal is not going to leave, which is part of the question, right? I said there's a whole bunch of complicating factors here. The Gemara explains that there's no encouragement to let the animal go free from the barn, but there's also nothing to secure it there. And the fact that the animal is not secured there, it's not kept there, it's not watched there, that's how that point is learned from the fact that the Mishnah says he's not obligated to return it. He's not obligated to return it because there's no authority guarding it, protecting it. The Gemara is going to go on and, you know, explain Rava a bit further and then delve into the more different cases. Again, if you find an animal in a stable, I'm going to turn this over to you, Dana, at this point. But obviously, we have not finished with this text, with the Mishnah and the Gemara on it.
So I think it's interesting to see this whole mitzvah of, like, helping somebody load and unload an animal. There's something peculiar about it because, you know, what's kind of like the owner's or the owner of the animals, like, what's their involvement in this, right? Like, you almost get the sense it's like, are you supposed to do all the work as the passerby? It's a very interesting mitzvah to me.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that question, right? We have this go help others underlying ethos, right? And then the question of how is that manifest and under what terms and when are you exempt from sticking your neck out, even though other circumstances would mean you have to stick your neck out. I think that's exactly what this is delineating.
Right. So I'm going to move to what I think is super interesting. And it gets to the question of what we call tsar balei chayim, right? The idea of suffering, suffering of all creatures, and it being a halachic concept that we should not cause tsar balei chayim. So this real, I'm starting right here, the last two words of Amud Aleph onto Amud Bet. Amar Rava, midivrei shneihem. So there's a machlokas here between the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon, right? Talking about the animal and having to help the animal, right? Nilmad tsar balei chayim deraita. So from this machlokas, right? Both the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon make the assumption that the obligation to help unload is more of an obligation than to help to load, right? That's what it was. The rabbis say that this is because the claim that if the Torah had written that you only needed to help load, we would have known by a kal v'chomer that of course then you have to help with unloading. And the Gemara and Rabbi Shimon basically agrees with this as well. So based on this discussion, what Rava basically says is we basically learn nilmad tsar balei chayim deraita, that this concept of the suffering of a living creature is actually a deraita. Because if the rabbis had said that once the obligation to load was written, the obligation to unload could just be deduced, through this kal v'chomer, that's how we know that it has to be a deraita. But afilo Rabbi Shimon lo kama ela mishum delo misame. cry. And even Rabbi Shimon, right, had said that basically you needed to explicitly write the obligation to unload only because he said that the verses of loading and unloading are not conclusive. In other words, either you can't use either verse to conclusively show that you have to obligate the loading. Aval misameh kra'e. But had the verses been conclusive, if it had been evident that the given verses referred to loading, darshinan kal v'chomer, then Rabbi Shimon also would have agreed, right, that there we could have a kal v'chomer to derive the law, the halacha of unloading, that you have to help unload an animal. Mishum mai, and what would it be based on? Lav mishum zar balechayim darshinan, right? Is it not because unloading, right, basically relieves the animal from suffering? And that's why we would have said that there was a kal v'chomer there. And so it basically can be shown that according to the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon, that this concept of tsar balei chayim is actually something that the Torah is actually concerned with. So basically what's going to come from here is a rather lengthy discussion. I'm only going to read part of it about whether or not tsar balei chayim is biblical or whether it is, deoraita or whether it is derabanan. And they're basically going to bring a bunch of different proofs, right? To state which way or the other. So I'll just continue reading here and just read a little bit more. Dilma mishum de'eka chesronim kis, right? Perhaps the reason that unloading is more compelling, this is where they're going to dispute it, is because there's a monetary loss involved, right? If the bystander just doesn't help unload the animal. V'halchik amar. So this then is how we would say the kal v'chomer. Umat te'ina. What if there's a situation where you needed to load? Delays ba chesron kis, where there's no monetary loss caused by the owner if the animal is not load. Chayav, we still find that you're obligated to help the owner. Prika, right? But in a situation where you need to unload the burden, deis ba chesron kis, where there is a potential monetary loss to the owner and the bystander doesn't help, right? Like let's say the animal fell down because the burden was so heavy and it could die or become injured, something like that. Lo koshagain should not certainly be obligated to help. So therefore, what they're saying is, according to this, it's not necessarily that tsar balei chayim is the overriding principle. Maybe the principle is more one about monetary law. So the Gemara is going to counter that. Utina in bachasron keys does lo right in fact prevent monetary loss. Milo askina de dahachi bahachi. Are we not dealing with a case where the animal's carrying merchandise, where in the meantime, with the merchandise, betzel mishuke, then the owner, right? He can't go to the market and sell. Inami, or we could say, atu ganave, right? Thieves will come while the burden is, whatever the wares are that you need to get on the animal are on the ground. Vishakli koma te'eka bahade, and they will take all the goods that the owner has with him. So in other words, it could be some of these cases, right, where you need to help to load, it can't be that it's a kal v'chomer based on a potential of monetary loss. Maybe it's really based on instead the kal v'chomer about the tsar balei chayim. So then the Gemara is going to go back to our Mishnah to try to prove it again that it's biblical. Teidad the tsar balei chayim deoraita. Know that according to the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon, tsar balei chayim is deoraita. Diktani Sefa, because it teaches at the end of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Imaya alav yeter al masao, if the animal was bearing more than its proper burden when it lay down, Ein zakuklo, the bystander is not bound to help unload it, Shanet Mar, because it says, and here they quote a pasuk from Shmot chapter 23, verse 5, Tachat masao, right under its burden, which means the animal has been bearing. Masui she'echo la'mobo, but it means a burden which it can stand, right? Because maso means its burden, meaning a burden that the animal can withstand and not an oversized burden. Lab michlau. Now, is it not true by implication to Tanakama Savar that the Tanakama, right, which would be the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon, would disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili's point? And wouldn't they hold that even when the owner overloads the animal, zakuklo, the bystander still has to help him, right? So this would say, my time, but what's the reason? La bishum de tsar balei chayim deoraita. Wouldn't it be because, yes, tsar balei chayim is a deoraita concern, and they are concerned about. Now, the Gemara from here is going to reject this proof, right? Dilma, perhaps, right? Everybody agrees, even Rabbi Yossi Aglili, about Tsar Balei Chayim, that it's Doraita, B'tachad Masa'o Plike, and that really what they're disagreeing about, the rabbis and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, is about this phrase of Tachad Masa'o. The Rabbi Yossi Saber Darshinan Tachad Masa'o. The Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that we interpret Tachad Masa'o as referring to Masui She'achod La'mobo, a burden which the animal can stand, and therefore he exempts somebody, the bystander, from helping when the load is oversized. V'Rabbanan Sviray Lo Darshinan Tachad Masa'o. Whereas the rabbis and also Rabbi Shimon would hold that we don't make an extra drasha about under its burden, right? It doesn't mean anything extra. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you know, we just saw, says that Tachad Masa'o just means it has to be a burden that the animal can stand. And the rabbis, we said, basically say, you know, we don't interpret Tachad Masa'o, you know, as referring to a load under, you know, under which it can stand, that it has to be, it can't be oversized. So therefore, this position of the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon can be understood that it doesn't have to be, even if it doesn't have to be about the concept of Tsar Balei Chayim, right? It has to do with the interpretation of Tachad Masa'o and whether or not you interpret Tachad Masa'o or not. So now the rabbis are going to bring a proof for this, that maybe Tsar Balei Chayim is not a Doraisa. Tedad the Tsar Balei Chayim lab Doraisa. Right, know that maybe they all agree that Tsar Balei Chayim is not a Doraita concern. Diktani Reisha, look at the beginning of our Mishnah. Halach v'yashavlo, if the owner walked away from the animal and sat down, va'amar lo, and says to the bystander, holo v'alayach mitzvah, right? It's a mitzvah for you to unload my animal, so you need to do it. Broke, unload the animal. I'm not going to help, patur. The bystander is exempt. Shena amar, because the pasuk says, emo, right? That in other words, the owner has to help you. Now, if you think that Tsar Balei Chayim is really a Doraita concern, Mali Eta Lamari Bahade, what does it matter whether the owner's helping or not, right? If we say the animal's suffering because of the load and Tsar Balei Chayim is a biblical concern, then we don't care if the owner's helping you or not. You still have to unload the animal. Umali Ki Lesa Lamari Bahade, or whether the owner is not unloading it with him. In other words, the fact that he's Pator shows that it's not really an issue of Tsar Balei Chayim. The Gemara is going to reject this, right? Le'olam, right? They say, really, Tsar Balei Chayim there, right? That Tsar Balei Chayim is always a biblical concern. Misavrat patur patur legamrei. Because you can assume that when the Mishnah rules that the bite doesn't mean he's completely exempt. V'dilma patur b'chinayim b'chayav b'schar. Maybe it means he's exempt from doing it for free, but he is obligated to do it and he has to get paid for it. And this is really what the Torah is saying. When the owner is unloading it with the bystander, then the bystander works alongside him for free. But when the owner is not unloading it with him, the bystander has to work for him and he can demand payment for it. And really, everybody would agree, we're not talking about Rabbi Yossi Aglili, we're talking about the rabbis and Rabbi Shimon, that Tsar Balei Chayim is actually a Doraita. Now, from here, the Gemara is going to give us this very lengthy mnemonic, right? That is Bahamat, Bahamat, Ohev, Tsone, Ratzpan, which actually spells out words, which is animal, animal, friend, enemy, habitually lying down. And basically, it's going to be based on these proofs about whether or not we say that Tsar Balei Chayim is actually biblical or it's not biblical. Tsar Balei Chayim is one of these concepts that I think gets invoked often. It's interesting to see whether or not it actually, you know, here's really the discussion about where is it actually biblical in origin. And I think it's a very interesting one as well.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank Us Reviews, where you get your podcasts. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this stuff. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.